Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. You know, when it comes to the Christmas season, there's so many wonderful doctrinal truths that we can talk about and we can preach about. It's when you're entering this area and this time of year, it's kind of a little bit of a sacred ground. I know all the Bible is a sacred ground, but it's things that we're familiar with, but things we need to be reminded of. And we're going to look at Luke chapter number 2. It's probably not going to be the last time we look at it this Christmas season, but we're going to look at tonight, this morning, as the message is entitled, Making the Most of Christmas. Making the most of Christmas. And when somebody would hear that title, that sermon, somebody, it might sound like it's a TV show and they can show you how to stretch your dollar to farthest, or show you how to wrap the perfect present, or show you how to do this or whatever it is. But there's a difference between making the most of Christmas when it comes to being a Christian and putting the right emphasis where God would have it to be. And in Luke chapter number 2, we're going to look at some different things today, and we're going to pull in some different thoughts from people that I think are probably at least a little bit familiar with the Christmas story about how we can make the most of Christmas this year. Let's look here in Luke chapter number 2. Let's go ahead and begin in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So we see that it was in God's timing that Jesus Christ came. And that Jesus came in those days, and Jesus needed to be born in Bethlehem, so he moved the heart of the king to be able to take this taxation. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. It shows you a little bit about history and how you can look back in history and you can see these things happening and how history confirms what the Bible says. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. So what is happening here is that for your taxation, for a census sake, they go back to their original birth or their family's original birth of the city. And this is where Joseph was from, also is where Mary was from. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And now we come to a familiar name. This is where Jesus was born. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, there was a reason for it. And you see in Matthew chapter number 1, it shows the lineage. In the book of Luke, it shows another lineage, one referring to Joseph, one referring to Mary. Says to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. That word espoused means, in a sense, they are engaged. But back in Bible times and in Jewish traditions, this woman would be considered legally married, but they have not come together physically. Being great with child. And that's where it makes it a little bit interesting. How she have a baby and have the baby that's coming. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And we know that this was a virgin birth, and that it was from the Holy Ghost that was put the seed inside of her. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I know that's a familiar phrase, but that's something we're going to come back to. No room for them in the inn. And it says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. We're going to talk about the shepherds a little bit tonight. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He says, look, don't be afraid. This is good news. And it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What a wonderful thought. Now the shepherds knew who they were talking about, but what he's referring to as a Savior. They were looking forward to the Messiah. He is our Savior as we put our faith and trust in him, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So the shepherds hear the announcement. They said, let's go, let's find them. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So when they saw the child, they went out and said, this is what happened. This is what the angel said. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Also notice what it says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Ask the Lord's blessing on the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us today. Lord, I know it's a little bit of a different message for a Sunday morning, but Lord, I know it's what you laid upon my heart, Lord, the importance of us making the most out of Christmas. Lord, help us to lift you up. Help us to focus on you. Help us to do everything that's based around our love for you and the love that you have for us by coming to this cross and coming to this world and dying on the cross for us. Speak to people's hearts today. Lord, there's someone here today that does not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray they repent of their sins and they ask you, Lord, to save them from their sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know that Christmas might be considered the most wonderful time of year, but it's also, I think for many of us, the busiest time of year. And we consider all the things that go on just around here, and I'm not complaining you're here in a little while. I think they're good things. But, you know, last week with the Christmas program for the church and then the youth one, and then we have different things lined up all throughout the week to help celebrate Christmas. I want us to understand the importance of making the most out of Christmas, even despite the fact there are so many things going on, whether it be outreach, whether it be services, whether it be unique opportunities to minister. I think it's important that we understand some important points from the Bible about how we can make the most of this Christmas. First thing I want you to see and think about is how to make the most out of Christmas is making room for Jesus. You go back to this verse here, and you look in Luke chapter number 2, and you go at the end of verse number 7. It says, because there was no room for them in the end. And here's the thing. You say, Pastor, that's a familiar one. Yeah, it is. But think about it. Do you have room for Christ this Christmas? I know I've heard preachers and illustrations, they get out there and they say, and what would it be like if you had a birthday party and you had a birthday party for a kid and then everybody brought presents for one another and didn't bring it for the kid whose birthday it was. And sometimes that's what people think about Christmas. You know, it's a time that we celebrate that Jesus Christ came to this world and he came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. And all throughout the Old Testament, they are talking about a Messiah. The Jewish people were looking for that Messiah. When the angel said that there was a Savior born, they knew who it was and they ran and they saw the babe lying there. But the sad part of the story is, what do we celebrate at Christmas time? I know we're here. You say, Pastor, it's Sunday morning. We're here. It's church. It's on the 17th. And we're even going to come next week. You know, we're here to celebrate. Well, let's make the most out of it. Let's think about, do we have room for Christ this Christmas? And you see in the story in verse number 7, you say, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a manger because there was no room, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn. So the purpose and the point was that they were traveling, they got to Bethlehem late, probably because it took a little bit longer with the pregnant lady, and there was no spot for them to stay, so they put him back out in a stable, which is probably back in Jewish times and traditions, it was probably nothing but more of like a cave type atmosphere, and it's where they kept their animals. And the master of the inn didn't have any room left, and he sent him back there. And you know, we think that's horrible. We think that's despicable. But you think about it, he didn't know who it was. And we know who Jesus is, and we say that we understand who Jesus is, and we celebrate his birth. But do we have room for him this Christmas season? Here's some things I want you to think about. First, I think we should make room for Jesus. Number one is to take time to seek him. Take time to seek him. And we know the story of the wise men. They traveled, and they probably traveled a few years to be able to make it to the Bethlehem to see the babe and the young child. And they took time to seek him. And I'm wondering this Christmas season, are we taking time to seek Jesus Christ? He came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. And when you enter into relationship with him, you can begin to develop that relationship. You can begin to learn more about him, and you can begin to understand him better. He wants us to grow closer to him. He wants us to draw nigh to him. Are you taking time this Christmas to seek after him? You think about the wise men. What did they do? They looked up into heaven. They followed the stars. The only way that we're truly ever going to seek Christ this Christmas is when we take our eyes off the things of this world and the things around us, and we look up to heaven and say, Lord, I want to know you better. We also learn that you seek for him in the scriptures. If there's actually a verse back in the Old Testament that talks about maybe that the wise men had seen, and because when they saw the star, it kind of clued in, and they followed that star, they found him in the scriptures. I'm here to tell you today that Christmas time is an important time that we take time to spend time with God. We need to make time for him. As when all the schedules and all the busyness and all the things going on, we need to make sure that we stop and say, I want to make room for Christ this Christmas. I want to take time to seek after Christ. I want to look up to heaven, and I don't want to be so distracted by the things of this world that I do not take time to spend time in prayer and Bible reading and Bible meditation. You go back and you think about what happened in verse number 19 here. In verse number 19, it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It talks about how the shepherds, they came back and they told him all the things that the angel had said. And you think about the excitement that had happened. I can imagine probably it wasn't just the shepherds, but as the shepherds went around and told other people that the other people might have come and seen the babe, and the other people might have come and saw and tried to figure out what was happening. It's an exciting night. But what does it say Mary did? She pondered these things in her heart. You know, scripture is not meant to be read and forgotten about. Scripture is taken and is written there for a purpose and a reason, and we need to make time for Christ this Christmas. I know that some people even, I had one of them, a man in our church, and he came up to me and said, you know what, I want Christ to be the center of our Christmas, and anytime I try to get out the Bible and read Luke chapter number 2, my whole family hates it. I said, that's sad. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And I want you to get this. It's not just reading Luke chapter number 2 and forgetting about it. It's saying, hey, I want to see Christ this Christmas. I want to learn about him this Christmas. I want to understand him better. And we do that by looking up to him and spending time and looking in the scriptures. We look past those that scoff at him. We look past those that are like the religious leader that are indifferent, and the Herod that responds in anger. We spend time looking for Christ at Christmas. One man has said that wise men still seek him. Next thing, I also don't want you to say, make room for him, make time to seek after him, make time also to praise him. If you look throughout the Bible, it's an amazing thing. Everybody is praising the Lord during this Christmas season. The shepherds, it says here that they left glorifying. Look what it says in verse 20 in chapter number 2. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. If you go to Luke chapter number 1, what is Mary doing? She's praising God. If you go to the wise men, what are they doing? They're praising the Lord. You see over and over in scripture, you see Anna later on in this chapter praising the Lord. You see Simeon later on in the chapter praising the Lord. We need to take time this year for Christmas and not just be so busy with activities. You know what? We need to take time and make room that make sure that Christ, that we will learn of him and seek him, but also to praise him. We looked at this past Wednesday night in Psalms 107. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And then it began to describe if men would praise the Lord, they're going to learn about him. They're going to learn about his loving kindness. The more you know God and the more that you seek him, the more you understand him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to praise him because you're going to see how good he is. There is enough people in this world today that are saying bad things about God. There are enough people in this world today who are saying God is not kind and God is not loving. If a just God would never allow this to happen, a loving God would never let, they don't understand, they don't know who God is. It's because we as believers today do not make enough time to praise him. We do not say enough good things about him. We do not tell others about him. It's Christmas. Let's make sure that we're seeking after him. But not only are we seeking after him, we take time to talk good about him. Talk good about how good he is. He should be part of our conversation on Christmas Day. Not just on Luke chapter number 2, and I think it's great to do that before you put the right emphasis there, but throughout the day, we continue to praise him and talk about how good God's been to him. You say, Pastor, you don't know my family, you don't know my friends, and you don't know the people I spend time with around Christmas time. They don't like that about God. It's because they don't know him. And I know there are some who are going to reject, and there are some that are going to be indifferent. There are going to be some that are not going to be happy that you're talking about him. But the Bible tells us to praise him, and the Bible tells us as we praise him, we'll learn of his loving kindness, and as we lift him up, others will see him. So I want you to take time. Do you have time for Christ this Christmas? Christ should be in the first place of our Christmases this year. So as you see in the story here, it's centered around Christ. It's centered about his birth. The angels make this announcement. Do we have time? Or are we like that person in verse number 7 that says, because there was no room for them in the inn? You say, Pastor, that's not very deep. We've heard that before. I know that. But the question is, have you made time for him? I know sometimes our schedule gets so busy, but are we still getting up early enough to spend time with him? How can we say we celebrate Christmas when we don't take time with him? How can we say we celebrate Christmas when we never talk about the one that we're celebrating? Say, Pastor, we just sang a song. It's easy to do it here. I'm talking about this upcoming week when you're doing things that you normally don't have the opportunity to do. I'm talking about next week on Monday when you go spend time with your family and some of those family members you don't really like or they don't really like you. Anybody have crazy people in their family? My family thinks I'm the crazy one. So, I mean, but I mean, there's people in our family that we got to get to and understand that we have to make room for them. Second thing I want you to see here, and this one goes along a little bit with why people are so busy. We should make the most of our opportunities, or make the most of your opportunities. If you go to Luke chapter 1, look in verse number 37 and 38. Just probably back a page, might even be on the same page. This is the story of Gabriel coming to Mary and telling Mary that she's with child. You imagine what that must have been like. You know, a virgin say, hey, you're going to have a baby. I'm sure that really made things go through. And it says that she was asking questions and she responded asking, how is this going to happen? And the angel explains all that, but I want you to focus on verse number 37 and 38. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I think we should make most of the opportunities that we have this Christmas. If we want to make the most of Christmas, we need to make most of the opportunities. You see in the story, you know, the shepherds made most of the opportunity. They heard what the angel has said. They didn't say, oh, that's nice. We'll check up with them later. No, they hear, they respond. When they see the truth, they respond by telling others. You see that Anna and Simeon, they made the most of it. Mary made the most of it by pondering in her mind. I want to tell you that you say, Pastor, you talk about how busy is the Christmas season. Why in the world then do we schedule church services and Christmas programs and Christmas banquets and do other things like that? It's because we want to make most of these opportunities. See, I think that we should look at everything as a potential life-changing moment. Every time we do some type of ministering, I think it should be a potential life-changing moment. Say, where do you get that from the verse? It says, for with God, all things are possible. See, there is nothing impossible with God. When you come into a church service and you have somebody who doesn't know Christ, and you know, when they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit gets that, and the Holy Spirit gets the heart of somebody, someone can become saved. And I think sometimes we just don't believe it can happen. I think sometimes we're lacking the faith. We're like Mary saying, how shall these things be? You know, God says that he can save people. God says he can use people. But sometimes we get to the spot that we're not obedient. Mary hears this. Mary's reminded about Elizabeth and Elizabeth having the baby after an old age. And Mary's reminded by all these different things. And she turns around and says, well, how's that going to happen? And he explains it to her. And then he says to him, remember, here's the important thing. All things are possible with God. Why do we have a Christmas program and a youth Christmas program? And why do we have ways to minister and reach out and soul winning? Why do you go to family members' houses? Why? Every opportunity you have could be a life-changing moment. Every opportunity you have could be a divine appointment from God that God wants you to reach out. Say, well, that person has never been saved. That person never cared about the gospel. That person never cared about Christmas. That person, with God, all things are possible. God can do anything. You have to allow him to do what he can through you by having faith. Say, if you look at it, at everything, like tonight, someone could be saved. This morning, someone could be saved. The person you hand a tract to could be saved. If we believe that we could see people saved by handing them a tract, you know what we would do? We do it more often. We've lost faith sometimes. So how can we make the most of this Christmas? You have opportunities during the Christmas season that you will never have opportunities any other time of the year. You see people. Some people are nice during Christmas that they're not nice any other time of year. You'll see people at the stores and you have opportunities. How do you make most of Christmas? You make most of the opportunities. You view each time as being obedient. You know, you think about it. Mary believed and Mary obeyed. Joseph, when he was told that his espoused wife was pregnant, he obeyed, he believed. You know, there is no substitution for obedience. Yes, December is busy, but it's full of opportunities to share the gospel and preach some of the greatest doctrinal truths of Scripture. Don't begrudge the opportunity to exalt Christ. Don't begrudge the opportunity. Look forward to the services. Look forward to the ways to minister. Look forward to ways to help people that might have burdens. Look forward to be able to declare the glory of God. Remember, also, you say, well, Pastor, I get tired of some of these things. Remember, God can use all these things. But also remember, some of these events that we have are very special for people that don't have a lot for Christmas, and don't have a lot of people for Christmas. So make sure you have the right attitude. Make sure you have the right responses that, you know, sometimes some of these things are really, really valuable and really important to people. It's amazing how some people look at one thing one way and other people look at another. I remember a story. It's a famous man, but I don't remember the exact who the character was. Talked about how he went fishing with his son. He wrote in his journal, I went fishing with my son, a day wasted. But the son, on the same day, wrote the journal, says, went fishing with my dad. It was the greatest day ever. Let God make the most of the opportunities here. You have the opportunity between now and probably the end of the year to be able to reach people for Christ even at a greater rate. You say, I can't do that. Look what it said in verse number 37. And you know, it says that with God, nothing shall be impossible. We need to have faith that God can make a difference in our lives and in our family's life. Be a witness. Fruitless Christians often complain. But I've learned that when I'm leading someone to Christ, that busyness turns to joy. All the work is worthwhile if it means that someone would know Christ. The third thing I want you to see here, not only is it make room for Jesus, but also making the most of your opportunities, but also make sacrifices that would declare his glory. You know, Christmas was not cheap. And Pastor, oh, I know what you're going to do. You're going to talk about money. You're probably going to take a special offering. I know our church back home, the new pastor came and he's changed things a little bit, but they used to have a Christmas offering and they would have a manger out front of the pulpit and they would have people actually get up from their seat and walk by and drop stuff in the manger. I used to hate that. I used to hate you had to get up and you had to walk around. And I know some people liked it and this and that. And I'm not picking on the preacher. My mom said when I became a pastor, you know what she told me? She says, please don't make your congregation get up and put the offering inside the manger. He says, it's just all for show. It's not really what offerings or sacrifices are supposed to be. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about giving of ourselves that would declare the glory of God. We're talking about us acting like Christ. See, it says in 2 Corinthians verse 8, chapter 8, verse number 9, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. This is what the Christmas story is about, as Jesus Christ came. When it says in verse number 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. That was Jesus. The angels explained it in verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you. They are talking about how God became man for us. I know sometimes we get little glimpses of heaven. We read in the book of Revelation about what heaven's going to be like. There's no way we can understand how great heaven's going to be and how Jesus left the glories of heaven to come to this world to die for mankind. He sacrificed himself. He gave up all those glories to come here and to be born as a babe and to live the perfect life and to die on the cross to taste death for every man because all men are sinners. He paid our sacrifice. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It's the whole reason. There's no point of having Christmas without Christ. This morning, do you know him today? Jesus Christ came to this world and he knew that people were sinners. He knew that they needed a Savior. He knew that there needed to be a payment for their sin debt. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, while we were dying in our sins, Christ died for us so we could be saved. And the Bible says, if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that we can be saved. We must see ourselves as sinners and say, I know that I need to repent of those sins and change our mind about how to get to heaven and turn to God and believe on him. That's his sacrifice. Now, what type of sacrifice can you make that's going to declare the glory of God? Our theme, I know, is for the year, is declare his glory. Talk about how to, on purpose, make people know the beauty of God. And Christmas is a great time to do that. At Christmas time, there's a time where people are carrying heavy burdens. Sometimes someone might have lost a mate this year, or someone might not have family around. And we declare his glory when we act like him, when we're willing to give of ourselves. I think sometimes I've been around different families, not a lot of families at Christmas time, but I've been around people, and I know what some families are like. Some people like their families. Some people don't like their families. There are some people inside their families that they don't always get along. I want you to understand, you are going to be declaring something this Christmas. You are going to be telling the world, you're going to be telling your family, you're going to be telling your church, there is something about Christmas, but what are you going to declare? Are you going to declare the glory of God by being a person who is kind, by being a person who is forgiving, by being a person who is exalting Christ? Or are you going to be someone who is bitter and someone who's being ugly or someone who is not really truly portraying the Christ that saved you? I know this is a different message than most Sunday morning messages. Usually we take a passage of scripture and we break it apart, but the Lord laid it upon my heart. If we're going to make the most out of this Christmas, what are we telling the world? Are we telling our kids that we're too busy? That are we too busy for God, too busy for Christ because of the fact that we don't come to a church service? Are we telling our family that we care more about the presents and we care more about the food than we do about how we treat one another? What do we declare during Christmas season? I think we should make the most of it by making room for him. But not only making room for him, we should take advantage of these opportunities. You have an opportunity to minister to somebody. He said, you don't know my family. I don't, but I tell you, you can minister to them. You can be kind when you've been mean before. You can forgive instead of holding that grudge. You can declare, he said, my family's never going to get it. Or not going to get it unless we start acting like Christ. I want to encourage you today, make sacrifices that will declare his glory. Consider his sacrifice. Consider what he did and what he paid, the glories he left, and then serve others to make the most out of Christmas. See the need and be willing to help be a part of the solution instead of being part of the problem. You ever seen two people that are just stubborn? Neither one wants to give an inch. They feel like they have given of them. If they gave an inch, that they would be the one that would be wrong. Christ tells us to be kind, doesn't he? He tells us to be tenderhearted. He tells us to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. This Christmas, I want to encourage you to make a sacrifice that will declare the glory of God. Somebody would be shocked if you walk up to them and said, I'm sorry for the way I treated you. I was wrong. What is that going to do? Is that going to make you look bad? No, it's going to make God look good. Some people would be shocked if you walked in and you treated them with kindness because over the years you have not treated them with kindness. If you provided a need even quietly without anyone knowing, it can still declare it. Well, they don't know who did it. It declares the glory of God because the person doesn't get credit. You know who gets credit? God does. Special gift from the Lord. And they're not going to say, I can praise an individual. I can praise a person. What are we declaring this? Sometimes we get so worked up and so busy and so bogged down and so overwhelmed and so burdened. I don't even want to be around some of you. Because you're not displaying Christ. You're all worried about all these things. Are we going to make room for him? Let's make sure that we put him first this year. We go back and we remember the purpose, and people are so enamored with the lights and the presents and the food and the family. They don't have any room for Christ. So how do you have room for Christ? Make most of the opportunities. When you see somebody, you tell them Merry Christmas. Invite them out to something. Give them a gospel tract. Talk to somebody about the Lord. Make most of those opportunities. But also, make sacrifices. Christ provided the greatest sacrifice for us, the greatest gift for us, so we could go to heaven. We ourselves can declare his glory by giving of ourselves to others. The greatest gift that some of you could give to your family is a kind spirit. Letting Christ, denying yourself and letting Christ fill you and demonstrating what God's love really looks like in human form. When I see this story, and tonight you say, Pastor, where's the gospel at? The gospel's found the sacrifice that Christ made us and that people can be saved. And tonight we're going to present the message about what the angels told the shepherds and how that there was a Savior that was needed. And it is peace. It is goodwill to men. But what is our Christmas like? Do we really truly make the most of it? So I made the most of it because the present I gave, or I made this deal, or I had this special. No. Making the most of it means making the most of Christ. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm a Scrooge. I think it's great to be able to show your appreciation by giving gifts. I think it's great to be able to spend time with family. I'm looking forward to our Christmas dinner on December 25th. I think it's wonderful to have a time of friendship and fellowship with believers, but also a time of outreach to those that do not know Christ, and also a way to minister to our family because we're the believer, we're the Christian, we're the ones that know him. Let's demonstrate the way we're supposed to live. They might be the ones that are in the wrong. They might be the ones that need to change, but they're never going to see a need to change until they see it in you. And it's never going to happen until Christ changes you. Make the most of this Christmas. Get right with the Lord. Make sure that you have no bitterness or someone else. Get rid of any sins. Let the Holy Spirit of God use you to minister to other people. Sacrifice of yourself. So that way, people can see Christ in you today. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.